Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Pleased to be joined on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline right now by a guy who is going to win the Coach of the Year Award in the NFL, took the league by storm this season. Head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, who went 11-5, turned their organization around and made the playoffs. Sean McVay is with us. Sean, I know you got to go on a little vacation. The season just came and went. You're going out to the NFL Honors Award Show to accept that Coach of the Year Award, very likely. I'm just curious if the whirlwind has slowed down enough for you to look back on that first year, how crazy it was and how impressed maybe you are with even what you were able to accomplish in year one.
Well, I think, you know, it's good to be back on here with you guys, Grant and Danny. I remember a couple years ago, and it's nice to be able to talk to you guys and catch up. But, you know, I think the further away you get from the season, you know, you can appreciate what our coaches and what our players and really our organization as a whole, we were able to take a step in the right direction. And certainly the way that it ended was really disappointing because, we felt like we did some really good things throughout the course of the regular season. But I think the way that our team is motivated going into the off season, we'll be able to use it the right way, knowing that, you know, what we did last year doesn't get us anything for next year, but a lot of confidence and knowing that we've got to work hard every single day. But it was definitely a step and really enjoying it out here.
Sean, when did it go from, I think we can be pretty good, I think this can work, to not only is this is working, but we're legit? When did you guys turn that corner, do you think? Or was it right away? Was it day one? Go through that process for us.
Yeah, that's a good question, Danny. I think the biggest thing is, you know, anytime that you get into an off-season preparation, you're always confident and optimistic, and being able to get around some of the players and just watch the way that they work and the way they handled some things. And I think some of the key off-season acquisitions we were able to make, when you look at the way that an Andrew Whitworth and a Connor Barwin can affect the locker room when you've already got guys like Jared Goff and Todd Gurley and an Aaron Donald in place. And, you know, watching the guys continue to just kind of connect, work together, come together as a team. And then I think any time that you're able to get out on the field and actually have some success, you can use that as a chance to build some confidence and kind of have something that you can go off of just to see how we measure up against another team. And some of the preseason opportunities provided that, but really that Colts game was outstanding. And then, to be honest, I love the way that, you know, when things didn't go well and the Redskins came out and did a great job of getting a win against us, the way that we responded on a short week to go beat San Francisco, and just watching the players resolve in the locker room immediately after, and how they just never seemed to be fazed by anything and always responded, whether it be good or bad, kind of in a consistent manner. I thought that really served us well throughout the year. So I would say the Colts game and then really watching the way we responded to the first adversity as well kind of demonstrated that we've got a mentally tough team. And I think that was kind of, you know, demonstrated throughout the course of the year.
Sean McVay, head coach of the Rams, kind enough to join us on Grant and Danny. I view offensive coaching and guys who I consider to be the gurus as play callers right now as the guys that make it the easiest for quarterbacks. And I think this year you were able to do that with Jared Goff. I'm curious. You were very confident when you took over right away. Everyone else was kind of curious. Could he bounce back? Could he become a franchise QB? And I don't know that anybody's asking that question anymore. What was the key to unlocking his potential?
Well, I'll tell you what, the thing, Grant, that I was really impressed just getting a chance to meet Jared right away is, even when I got a chance to just go through the interview process, I spent a little bit of time with Jared. And a lot of times, especially when you're the number one overall pick and you can probably kind of feel the weight of the world on your shoulders, I never got that sense from him. He always had kind of a quiet security and confidence in himself, even though that the first year didn't go the way that you want. I thought he was really accountable for what he could do to be part of the solution and playing better. And I never sensed that there was any confidence lost, even though it didn't go that way. And that's kind of really what he demonstrated throughout the year and really through practices. And no matter what the moment is, I think he does such a great job of kind of handling everything with an even keeled, you know, demeanor and disposition. And he's got a quiet swag about himself that rubs off on his teammates. And clearly the talent just from being able to throw the ball, make different throws, and create off schedule, you know, you see those tools and you see the traits and the characteristics. But I think the mental toughness that Jared has is something that's going to serve him well. And he demonstrated that this year, and he did a great job leading our offense, and we feel like we're in good hands with him as our quarterback.
Sean, got to take advantage of having you on and talk some Super Bowl here. It's almost with all the news going on, I forgot that it was happening this weekend. As an offensive mind of your caliber, break it down for us. How do you attack this Philly defense, and how would you attack on the other side that New England defense that always seems to give up yards but not that many points?
You know, the one thing that just having played Philly this year, he has such an appreciation, and you guys saw them twice this year, but Coach Schwartz does a great job of, you know, really, are you looking at some of the early downs? What's really impressive about them is they've got such a good four-man rush where they're rotating guys in and out, but clearly you feel Fletcher Cox, and then when you look at Brandon Graham coming off the edge, really been impressed with Barnett, and then Chris Long as a situational pass rusher, and one of the guys that does as good a job as anybody that I don't think gets as much credit as Timmy Jernigan. The addition of him, I think, really has made a difference. And when you can create a four-man rush and find a way to hit home, and then you've still got guys that can cover and run on the second and third levels, they're really tough. And I think you've got to make sure that you're able to try to balance out some running passes. They are one of the top run defenses. They were the top run defense in the league for a reason. But then when you get to the second level and you look at some of those linebackers with Bradham and their ability to run, and then on the corner, the thing that's really impressive is they've got about three or four guys that can all play man coverage. They can get up and challenge you, and then they can play some of their quarters principles. And I think Malcolm Jenkins is as complete a safety as there is in this league. So they're a top-tier unit for a reason. That when they get their hands on the ball, they usually get it back. And then obviously with Fletcher Cox and those guys, when they hit home, they're not just going for sacks. They're aggressively attacking the football and trying to get it back. And I thought the turning point in the NFC Championship game clearly was when Patrick Robertson makes that pick, and they take it back and they get it to a 7-7 game. And then you see 31 unanswered from there. So a lot of challenges, but I think it's about staying balanced on those early downs so that you don't get yourself in those second and third downs where you're in long yardage situations. And then that's when Schwartz does a great job of mixing in some of his pressures. And that's when the offense is really having a tough time kind of converting and they get guys off the field or they get the ball back for their offense.
Sean McVay is the youngest coach in the NFL, and he may have also had the most impressive season. He's joining us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. I want you to X and O with me on a couple things I've noticed from the two offenses in the Super Bowl. First, the Eagles, the run-pass option. Why isn't that more utilized by every team? I mean, is anyone ever going to major in that in some way? What kind of problems does it present from a play calling or maybe blocking standpoint that keeps it from being more prevalent? And then also, I think the league anymore, Sean, is about mismatches and just creating one-on-ones with tight ends and running backs. To me, that's the trend. That's what's hot right now, if you will. The athletic tight end, the running back on a linebacker. I'm not sure anybody does that better than Josh McDaniels. And that's kind of the staples of these two offenses. Give me some thoughts on those things.
Yeah, you know, when you look at what Coach Peterson has done this year, even with Carson, you know, they've done a really nice job of, you know, kind of giving some of those, like you talk about those RPOs, and that's something that's a big part of the college game with the spread offenses. But it stresses the defense in a variety of ways because really you just kind of are manipulating one player and you're able to run the football. And if that guy steps up, you replace him in a void, very similar to the way that you do it with play action, but the ball's coming out a little bit quicker so that you don't run the risk of linemen down the field. And I think he's done an excellent job with that. And then you see Foles having some success and it really puts guys in a bind. And I think you do see that across the league, but clearly, when you look at just the way that teams kind of mimic and emulate each other, especially if they're using a phase of their offense that has success, I think you will continue to see that be a prevalent part of our game because you're really kind of getting the best of both, especially if you have a quarterback that you feel confident in, quick decision-making and really, you know, some perimeter skill players where it's almost kind of like being able to call a run and also a quick game, and you get the best of both based on the look that the defense presents. So it's something that I think probably every team has a little bit of, and that's definitely something that I know our staff is excited about studying hard this offseason. And really going back to Chip Kelly a couple years back, you know, I thought they did a great job where that was a huge part of his success, you know, in college. And then I thought when he brought it to the NFL, you saw that show up in a variety of ways. And then when you look at Josh, I think you know, he does as good a job, like you mentioned, Grant, as far as just being able to utilize tight ends and the backs create the mismatches. And I think that's been a phase of, you know, credit to Coach Belichick. You look at certain teams around the league that have been consistent for so many years. You know, you see it's kind of part of their identity, part of their makeup, part of something that they look at. I mean, every year it seems like New England finds a way to get backs, whether it's James White. You obviously look at the back from Pitt, and then you see Rex Burkhead come in and make some plays this year, and we know what a great player Gronkowski's been, but they've got a bunch of different guys that they can find ways to get your safeties and linebackers in binds, because these guys are functional in the pass game, and Tom does a great job utilizing them, and obviously it starts with Josh being able to get the design.
Rams head coach Sean McVay joins us here this morning on Grant and Danny. Sean, we flap our gums in the studio every day about team building and the best way to, you know, to go about this thing. But I sort of wonder now, with you as an offensive mind and your prep and doing, you know, getting your team ready to play, how to figure out how to attack in a defense. What's the most difficult thing for you to overcome when an opponent has what? I always argue it's interior pressure. You guys got a great one there, and Aaron Donald. You mentioned Fletcher Cox earlier. Those guys, to me, are the most – they're worth their weight in gold and then some. Is that the most difficult thing to kind of overcome and account for? And if it's not, what is?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And I think definitely that's certainly something that you're concerned about, because a lot of the things specifically to us offensively, and really a good portion of teams in this league, is, you know, you want to maintain a certain level of balance, and you know, a lot of ways that you try to attack people on some of those early downs, Danny, is really with the runs, but complemented with the play actions in the boot game. And if you're not able to make people honor the run, then they don't react to the pass and things like that. So when you have those aggressive interior rushes or guys that are so physical where you're not able to create that movement, and now when you run it at 2nd and 11 or 2nd and 10, that takes the stress off what typically the defense would react to on a 2nd and 5, 2nd and 4, when you want to mix in the play action. So I think anytime, you know, I think everything from a defensive standpoint starts with the rush, the ability to get to the quarterback, and then I think it's kind of a combination of getting to the quarterback, but also being able to get to the run and stop that and be efficient. And when you've got guys that can influence and affect the game, both in the run and the pass up front, you see the impact that they have. And we feel fortunate, like a Fletcher Cox, to have some pretty good players on our front. And you know, when you look at the way that Aaron Donald was able to affect the game for us this year, clearly that's something that, from a big picture perspective, you have a real appreciation for now.
A little perspective on Sean McVay's 11-win first season. The Redskins have not won 11 games since I was in a diaper. I'll be 30 next year. That is really hard to do.
Amazing.
In the NFL, and McVay is now batting 1,000. At doing that with the Rams. Speaking of the Skins, I'd be remiss if we let you go without talking a little bit about the business that took place this week. You know Jay as his former play caller and a good buddy of yours, better than anybody. I'll get to Kirk Cousins in a second, but Alex Smith, what kind of fit is he in Jay's offense? Help me understand some of the things he does well, some of the things Jay may have to adapt. How do you think it'll work?
Well, I think the first thing that you look at Alex really over the course of his career is he's won a lot of games, and that's a credit to him. And I think he's been in some systems in terms of what they've kind of emphasized that'll be very similar to what Jay will do, where you see a lot of quick passing game. You see some change at the launch point, getting the ball in different guys' hands. And then I think one of the things that really stood out about Alex this past year, especially as you look at just the way that he threw the deep ball consistently, even looking at the Pro Bowl, he makes a great throw down the right sideline to Jarvis Landry, where he kind of drops it right in the bucket. And I want to say he's 26 touchdowns and 5 picks and over 4,000 yards. And I thought Coach Reed and Coach Nagy did an excellent job of putting him in some good spots, and then he ends up making the plays. But in a similar regard, I think Jay will do that, where you'll see the play actions, the movements, the quick passing game. And then I think just when you look at what he was able to do, and then you look at kind of the emergence of a Josh Dotson as the season progressed, and then Jay's ability with the offenses he's been a part of to kind of want to stretch the ball, where it doesn't necessarily have to be a 65, 70-yard launch, but just throwing some go balls where that ball's hitting, you know, between 40 and 45 yards down the sideline. I thought that's something that you really did see, a huge jump in Alex's game. And I think you can expect to see Jay utilize some of those same things that allowed him to have so much success this past year.
I like hearing some of the adaptability that you're talking about, too, because I think of you know, the bootleg game is more one of your strengths a couple seasons ago than Jay's is more of a straight drop back guy, in my opinion, from what I've seen. But you can kind of see him marrying the two to make Alex Smith the best version of himself. Because for me, I like him on the move. I like him outside the pocket. I like kind of moving the launch point with him and also running some of those nakeds. That you think becomes maybe a bigger part of your offense having added him?
I think so. I think that's a good point. And, you know, I think just like, you know, any good coach, and especially, you know, because of the respect and knowing what a good coach Jay is and his ability to kind of adapt and adjust, I think you will see a little bit of that. And then I think also, much like, you know, Kirk has that kind of feel with Jay as well. It's just, you know, when you've got a player like Alex, you know that you're going to be able to take some input from him. He's going to be able to kind of echo and articulate some of the things that he's liked based on the experience he's been able to accumulate over the last handful of years. And I think they'll work very well together.
Sean, I know you're a relentless watcher of football. How much Kirk did you see this year? Have you gone back and watched anything? And after that, where do you think he fits the best? Not necessarily teams. I know you can't comment on that. But what kind of system and scheme and setup do you think he'll thrive in the most?
Yeah, no, of course, I did, Danny. You get a chance. You know, I think there's a lot of reasons why you want to just check up, see how your guys are doing, and always want to watch. And a lot of times you're crossing over with Redskins tape. But, you know, I'm always interested to see how so many people that were such an important part of my life the last handful of years and really still are, you want to check up on them and see how they're doing. So I got a chance to watch all the Skins games this past year, especially offensively. And, you know, with Kirk, I think, you know, when you talk about a system fit, you know, if you can play, you can play. And clearly this guy can play and he could do a lot of different things. And one of the things that I think is the most underrated trait that guys have, and I got to be careful going too overboard because the guy's a free agent. I remember last year when I got this job, I said, you know, I can't be tampering because you can't talk too much about guys that are getting ready to be under that are in their last year, their contract. But the one thing about Kirk is that I think he is such a great leader. He's got all the intangibles. You know how I feel about him in that regard. But I think, you know, anytime you hear somebody talk about that his arm talent and these types of things, they're not watching the tape if that's what they see, because he can make all the throws. He can speed his release up at the top as well as anybody in this league. And then I thought you did see a really, you know, a good improvement in regards to creating off schedule, doing some things that maybe goes outside the framework of the design of the play. And that's what I think you see some of the great ones do. And he took a step in the right direction. And then I also thought you saw a lot of consistent execution on kind of the standard designs of the offense, where Jay got him in some good spots, but you still got to be able to finish and make the plays, and Kirk certainly did that on a consistent basis this past year.
Sean, last thing before I let you go. You've been a head coach not quite a year now, but you're living that lifestyle at this point. Coolest thing. I mean, I remember just a few years ago sitting there talking at Redskins Park. You're a tight ends coach. The coolest thing that's either changed or that's happened now that you're a head coach is what?
Yeah, well, I think the coolest thing is really, you know, just being able to be out in L.A. and then the platform that this provides in terms of getting to meet people and how willing so many different people are to share, you know, whether it's Dave Roberts, the manager for the Dodgers, Doc Rivers with the Clippers. You know, you get to know Peyton Manning a little bit. I think just the exposure you get to some of these special people in their different fields and being able to listen and learn from them and try to help it grow. And I think the most special moment that we've had, you know, really, you know, there's so many, and we have such a good group of people, but being able to win the division in Tennessee, share that moment with our players, our coaches, and kind of that excitement where, you know, you're able to accomplish something with a group of men. I think that's what makes football so special. But it's been fun. You know, it certainly didn't end the way that we wanted to, but that's the motivation that, you know, that you kind of carry moving into the off season. But it was, I think the further away you get from it, Grant, you can reflect on it being a step in the right direction. But all that really is a credit to being around really good football players that are also really good people. And that's what we've got in that locker room.
I got to tell you got a lot of fans pulling for you here in D.C., cross country. And I think people like when good people who work real hard have good things happen. And I think that's why so many people are proud of you and happy for you, man. Congrats on a whale of a season.
Congrats, bud.
Good luck following it up next year.
Well, that means a lot. I appreciate it, guys. Always good to come on and talk to you.
Wear something sharp for your acceptance speech of your Coach of the Year award.
Right.
Impress us with your suit choice.
Well, hey, we'll see how it plays out either way. It's it's an honor to even just be able to go and kind of represent the Rams and see some of our players there as well.
Sean McVay, head coach of the Rams, on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good to have Sean McVay back on the show. What a season he had in Los Angeles. What a difference a year makes for the Rams.
Pretty good.
11-5. The only regret I have is I didn't think about this during the interview. Someone tweeted me. It was too late when I saw it. Someone said, ask him about people who know no. Kirk Cousins commented on our show that people who know no, and he quoted Sean McVay while he was doing it. It's my favorite quote ever at this point. People who know, know.
The best offense in the NFL, statistically, the Los Angeles Rams. The difference between this year and last year is the head coach, Sean McVay. That's the difference. Basically, no more Jeff Fisher and his staff of junior varsity guys that should be running, you know, the wishbone or whatever the hell it was. Grown-up NFL adult caliber offense, and they exploded. 478 points scored, towards the top of the league in yards per play. Just excellent. Excellent all season long. Turned Todd Gurley from a quote-unquote bust into a MVP candidate. Amazing.
I mentioned during the interview with McVay that I feel like the league anymore, from an offensive standpoint, is divided between two types of coaches. There are the great offensive minds that make life really easy for their quarterbacks, and then there's everybody else that either makes it not necessarily difficult, but just does not cater to the skill set of their quarterback to make easier, safer throws into windows that are larger. McVay is in a group right now, if you're talking about play callers and designers on offense, with Josh McDaniels, Sean Payton, Kyle Shanahan, and I would probably say nobody else. That's the Mount Rushmore right now in terms of designing offense in the NFL. Some great insight from him on Alex Smith coming to Washington, what it's going to mean for the Redskins, how he's going to fit for Jay Gruden, how you can cater the offense around him. Yesterday, we had a couple of guests on. I want to play a couple of clips of audio and then get you guys to react to that, if you don't mind, on the phones here at 800-636-1067. One of our guests, very high on Alex Smith. The other, known for studying a lot of film and talking to a lot of coaches, is not quite as high on him. So let's first play Solomon Wilcots, who told us when he came on the show, I got to tell you, I'm a big believer in Smith. And what he likes about him is that he is not going to beat you. Here was Wilcots yesterday.
I have been one of the biggest fans of Alex Smith, who I just think plays the game the right way, doesn't necessarily think that the quarterback is the most important. He knows that the quarterback is just a component of the greater part of the team. And he's just smart. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot. Single-digit interceptions for, what, the last 7-8 years, only 5 this past season. Arguably the best season he's ever had. He led all quarterbacks in terms of quarterback rating. And 2017 was his best effort. So he continues to get better, and I think Jay Gruden made this team better. I think the Redskins are going to be better for having Alex Smith.
So that's Wilcots on Smith. How about the assessment of Andy Benoit on Alex Smith in comparison to Kirk Cousins? He had a quarterback the last 3 seasons, put up some of the best numbers in the league. You got Smith coming off of a career year.
Yeah, I agree with you. The coaches tell you how they feel by what they do and what they call and how they use their players. And the times that they have asked Alex Smith or given him a chance to go out there and let it rip, he sometimes does, he sometimes doesn't. Early in the season last year, he was very comfortable in that system. They've been there a while under Reed, and it showed. And he was letting it rip. And as the season progressed and they started seeing more zone coverage, where your reads get a little bit blurrier and you have eyes from the defense now looking at you, multiple eyes, and you have to read multiple parts of the field rather than just, hey, who's the man on the guy I'm throwing? Alex Smith regressed back into some of the stuff we've seen for him before, and that offense got very inconsistent for a while there. So I don't think Alex Smith, I think he's a below average passing talent. If we were to take, let's say the average is the median in the NFL, I mean, is he over or under the 16 or 17 mark in rankings? I think he's well under that as a raw passing talent. I think Cousins is probably somewhere in the middle of that 15 to 18 range. Cousins doesn't have the biggest arm, and his footwork can be a little bit inconsistent at times, but he does have a quick release, and he's willing to make the most of his arm. And that's gotten him into trouble at times, but that's done more good than bad for him ultimately. That's not how Alex Smith plays. Alex Smith is a much more conservative and a more limited passer than Cousins is.
He also went on to discuss the relationship between Smith and Gruden. Remember that Jay Gruden, for much of this year, I think the word you can use is was annoyed, certainly bristled, at some of the lack of shots that Cousins would take. And I don't mean deep throws. That's what people always assume you mean. But it could be safe, or it could be shorter throws. It's just non-safe throws. It is the
right
forcing the ball into traffic. I think it all stems back to him getting benched for interceptions. But listen to what he says about Jay Gruden and Alex Smith this season. I thought this was the most probably provocative thing said on our show yesterday.
I don't think Gruden's system will ultimately accommodate that enough. I think you have to be an anticipation passer and have to have a little bit of a gunslinger mindset to play for Jay Gruden or to do everything he wants to do. So I'm sure there's still lots he can do. Like, again, they have the running back. They've got the tight end. They use him very well in the passing game. They'll do stuff that will make Alex Smith comfortable. But my guess is right around maybe mid-November, Jay Gruden privately is going to start pulling his hair out because he's not going to like all the throws that Alex Smith leaves on the field.
Yeah, that's something. I'll say this. I think the Jay Gruden, hey, Kirk, I'd like you to take more chances, more 50-50 balls, push it downfield, give our receivers chances. That's like any relationship. Like your spouse, I love my wife so much. There are things that she does that irritate the hell out of me and vice versa. Like just my existence and the way that I breathe at a certain time, like during a Bravo show, makes her want to throw me out a window. I think that's where that's at. There's still a lot of admiration and understanding that this is good for all of us, but man, if I could tweak one thing, if I could change one thing about my the guy that I'm kind of going through all this with, it would be this one thing. What Benoit was talking about, though, was closer to a fundamental divide between the two styles, whereas Kirk is, for the sake of argument, is a 5 out of 10 on risk-taking, right? He's become slightly less risk-averse, maybe over the course of his time, from the initial benching that you alluded to.
Think about a couple of the throws to Doxson that were just completely contested jump balls where it didn't look like he was open or had a chance to catch a pass, whether it was the game winner that set up the touchdown in Seattle or a throw in New Orleans where he mossed someone on the sideline. You go back to
Kansas
the throw
City
against
game.
Kansas City was a nice throw to Terrell Pryor down the field,
yep,
50 yards, or the deep shot into the end zone. You're right. End of the Kansas City game that he dropped. What about the touchdown over top of Amerson with the Raiders at FedEx Field,
yep,
in September?
Good pull.
I mean, that was just a, hey, let me flick this up here and see what happens. Even Maurice Harris on that 36-yard touchdown against the Vikings. Not open. Throw a ridiculous pass back of the end zone.
That's all good pulls there. Where, you know, Smith is lower even on that scale and has shown a propensity for the most part over his 12 years. And again, last year was kind of the exception, pushing it downfield to Tyreek Hill and kind of, you know, exploring the space a little bit, especially on some of the scramble plays. But in general, has been a 2 out of 10 in terms of risk aversion. So next thing you know, this could be what Benoit is saying is a fundamental divide. Then you add in the, you know, how good Alex Smith is in the bootleg game and some of the misdirection that Andy Reid implemented to make him more successful than he's ever been. That's not Jay Gruden's strength. He comes from kind of the arena league, which is you got 3 seconds to get rid of the ball before a lineman slash linebacker slash kicker slash receiver, because everybody has to play every position, is going to nail your quarterback into the turf. So he comes from the straight dropback game. You add all those things up, Andy Benoit says not a great fit. The inverse is Solomon Wilcots, who's talking what he values in a quarterback is, if I don't have a world beater, which, and I'm putting words in Wilcots' mouth here, but if I don't have a world beater, if I don't have Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, if I don't have Joe Montana, if I don't have a surgeon who's going to keep me in any game no matter what, the next best thing is to have a quarterback that's never going to lose it for you. He values not turning the football over more than it would seem Benoit or some other guys do. That's a reasonable approach, by the way. It just sort of depends on team and fit and scheme and everything else. I don't mind certain kinds of turnovers. I can't stand when the ball needs to come out, a guy patting the football and ends up getting a strip fumble. I can't stand those. I can't stand passes that never had a chance. I don't mind the downfield glorified punts. I don't mind that. I never have. It sort of depends on what you like in a QB. So in the eye of the beholder, you could say you like Smith better than Cousins in certain areas. I don't have a problem with either evaluation.
Let's get some reactions, though, to those two takes and maybe which side you come down on more. First of all, does it worry you that a guy is plugged in and who studies the film to the extent that Benoit does and who talks to coaches all around the league says, he said he doesn't think he's a great fit? We've heard a couple callers say that. This is a little bit different. And it makes sense, by the way. The first thing you think about when Alex Smith is a quarterback that likes to move around and bootleg and use his feet. That isn't to say that Jay Gruden can't do that, because Kirk Cousins was outstanding in the read option game, making some of those decisions. You see some of the keepers over the last couple of years, the 19-yarder to get into the end zone against
Detroit. Got a lot
of
rushing touchdowns. It's Cam Newton, then Kirk.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, in the red zone, they have. And in the goal-to-go area, they certainly have called his number to run the football. But I'm talking more about just moving the pocket mm-hmm. rather than the straight dropbacks and throwing from between the tackle box. Do you like the fit? Do you think Jay Gruden's going to have to make some adjustments? And if Jay Gruden had an issue with Cousins not taking enough chances, not being, the overused phrase is, enough gunslinger for him, Smith is less of that. And he's more set in his ways. You know, Cousins, you can make the case, well, he's only been starting for 40 games. It's third season. You know, maybe he'll start taking more shots. And you actually saw it this year. All of a sudden, I got a wide receiver who can outleap people. I got a wide receiver who can come down with 50-50 throws and moss a DB. I'll take a shot. Why not? Alex Smith has been in the league for over a decade, and he's just never been that guy. He went a season and change without throwing a touchdown pass to a wide receiver.
That's almost impossible to do.
He'll completely take wide receivers out of games if he just decides it's a bad matchup. A week where you're playing the Saints and Marshawn Lattimore on the outside, you might as well not even take the field if you're Josh Doctson that week. He's just not going to throw you the football, which isn't necessarily a terrible thing, because he's going to look for matchups with running backs on linebackers. He's going to look for a tight end operating in the slot against a small DB. He might find someone on the other side of the field against the number two corner working on the inside short. But he's a super smart guy who's very programmed. A lot like Kirk Cousins.
Well, and people act like it's ancient history, too, that he doesn't throw touchdown passes to wide receivers. 2 years ago, their leading wide receiver had two touchdown catches. I mean, Albert Wilson.
I mean, Is that it, too?
I mean, it's Travis Kelce, Spencer Ware, Sharkhandrick West. I mean, it's uncanny. I mean, now again, I like the player. It sounds like I'm bashing him. I don't. I like this. Because to me, this is a steady hand. This is a stay calm, guys. I know you're the captain of the plane. Passed out, but I am a very apt co-pilot. I've got years of flight experience. We'll be A-okay. That's where we're at. We're not going to be embarrassed. He's not going to throw us out of any games. You have fewer stinkers to me. Fewer bottom falls out. No one can do anything right. The four interception Thursday night games that Kirk Cousins had against the Giants. You're not getting those from Alex Smith. You're not. You're also not going to get the 400-yard, four-touchdown games all as often, like against Philadelphia in years past.
Yeah.
To me, you trade in steady. I'll take steady. That matters.
Yeah, you went with steady, and as I like to say, you basically guessed on the floor, not the ceiling.
Right.
Bottom's not going to fall out anymore. And we both wanted Alex Smith, in fairness, if it wasn't going to be Kirk Cousins.
100%. And I said earlier, I would have made this trade.
Yeah, I don't love the trade, but I like Alex Smith as the Redskins' starting quarterback next year compared to the unknown. I do. 800-636-1067 is the number. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7. The Fan. Shout out to my guy TJ Oshie. Finally broke his goal drought last night. Had scored just once in his last 22 games.
Him and Andre Burakovsky. Let's get off the schneid tonight one time.
Andre Burakovsky is a better man than you are. Remember that?
That's what we did. That's right.
That was a Thommy original.
Ago.
That was the same postseason, I believe. I remember because we were sitting in that terrible makeshift Lanham studio. During the hockey playoffs.
We were in the fresh 94.7 alternate studio.
We just made do. I remember we would get emails from CK like every couple days like, hey, guys, just keep swinging that axe. Don't say anything on the air about how bad this is.
Any day now, we come into the show. The studio stinks.
That's when I went by Tommy McFly. And never.
Oh, that's right.
Never
that's
forget. Right. They turned the water off before they turned our radio studio off.
Remember that? I won't forget that.
We couldn't go to the bathroom. Remember?
And then they turned our cable off. So we had no cable, no water. We were somehow still on the air.
I remember my favorite thing about that was I was doing a segment. This is not a joke. This is not an exaggeration. This is not me being funny. I'm doing a radio segment with you mm-hmm. on the Grant and Danny radio program.
Right.
Major market, number 7, Washington, D.C. radio. And there were two engineers on their hands and knees. One to my left and one guy who can, and I don't know if he was doing a bit to just try to throw me off or what, who crawled several times between my legs
between
back
legs.
And forth as I'm sitting with my legs on the ground. And he's literally crawling between my legs to plug and unplug wires multiple times, just back and forth through my legs.
Just so much leg brushing. And beyond that, it wasn't as if it was a whisper quiet operation. A lot of this.
Yeah.
And then like the metal clanking on metal. Then like grunting and sighing as men of heavy set nature have to go in as they get down on all fours and they're plugging things in and out.
It's darkest right before it's bright. What do they say? Something like that?
The night is darkest right before the dawn, my friend.
Well, here we are in our plush, beautiful half-street studio.
This is why we're here.
Where we do not have complaints. Let's go to Jay in D.C. You just heard from Solomon Wilcots, who loves the idea of Alex Smith. Andy Benoit, who thinks he's a bad schematic fit for Jay Gruden, who's going to pull his hair out. What do you think?
It's hard to call the radio. And this is what I was trying to say earlier today. This is the difference between both of you guys. I feel like Andy Benoit said details and Solomon Wilcots just said a whole bunch of anecdotal crap. Danny asked for fit. Danny, you asked for fit. He said basically smart, mobile, first round pick, better decision maker, athletic. That has nothing to do with fit.
That means nothing.
Nothing. Means nothing. Grant, you asked, why do people move on from him? Oh, well, he needed to be in the same offense. Man, they kept changing offenses. All right, well, he's changing offense this year. And he said, all right, well, what can we do to make it fit? Well, he said, coaches always trying to be cute, always trying to be cute. Okay, so when has Jay Gruden ever, like, really, like, adapted to his quarterback? I mean, we did nothing for RG3. RG3 said we did nothing. Well, he did something. You know, but, you know, we didn't completely change the offense for RG3. How are we going to do this for him? I still think we should get Andy Dalton.
I appreciate you, buddy. I don't think it's a bad take. And, again, it's something I do want to revisit at some point as far as Dalton versus Smith. Big difference, though, between Alex Smith, who's had a long track record of helping football teams win games and play well in wins, which is important from an individual evaluation, and Robert Griffin, who has no track record of that, really. Other than kind of a fluky, fun 2012 season when the Redskins at one point were struggling immensely.
They were 3-6.
Just because of him, but there were some issues early on that season in the drop-back passing game, and they had to continue to cater things to do it differently than they wanted to. Dre's in Manassas. What's up, Dre?
Dre.
Yeah, also frustrating about this. Like, the Redskins, you know, they didn't pay Kirk because they wanted to see more, and now they ended up with a quarterback that has less talent, that's older. It's like, really, you wanted to see more to end up with this? But I'll say this. You know, for me, I wouldn't have done the trade. And to me, what's so frustrating about, you know, the scenario that we're in is that, you know, it's Alex Smith. You guys are talking about, like, you know, Alex Smith, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. But to me, that's a kind of like a macro level. It's more like Alex Smith versus the continued 808 or worse for the last 30 years. As a Redskins fan, and I'm used to it. It's like no big deal. But from my perspective, what really gets under my skin is not just it's Fuller, but, you know, it, to me, it's now you're rebuilding the defense. It wasn't there yet, but it was getting closer. And you had key pieces like Fuller and the defensive line, you know, the bad Greek guy, John Allen, you know, I saw it building. I saw some kind of hope. Okay, so for me now it's like, crap, now we got to start over on offense and now on defense. And to me, it's like you just kill two birds with one stone in a negative context as opposed to in the positive context.
It's two parakeets in your cage that you killed instead of wild birds.
Here's why it's such a good point. When I keep saying I wouldn't make the deal, I don't want to trade Fuller, it's not just about Kendall Fuller. It's never been just about Kendall Fuller for me. I like Kendall Fuller.
Me too.
It is symbolically the trading of assets to just maintain okay.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what they did.
Philosophically, I would never major in this. This is my break glass in case of emergency. The same way I said at the time, I'm all for this Robert Griffin trade.
I can't break glass in case of emergency. Here, though, my philosophy right now is acquire good, young, controllable, terrific, cheap defensive talent. The second best guy in that category on your team is now a Kansas City Chief. And in the process, a third-round pick that could have been a starter at inside linebacker or perhaps on your defensive line in the next couple of years is also gone. Now, you could say, well, if you have those guys, you don't have a quarterback, nothing matters. I agree, except that I think you could have gotten a quarterback that would have been a little bit worse than Alex Smith and saved so much money that you would have built up more around him anyway. Yeah. If you're not going to pay a guy who's earned it here, who's better than Alex Smith, who plays at a championship level, then to pay a guy just a little bit less that is a little bit worse, I don't hate it. I got no problem with that. I have a problem with the assets you had to give up to get there.
It makes sense.
Andrew in Silver Spring, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Andrew.
Good.
Hey, I have a crazy idea because I think Bruce and Dan need to feel like they're the smartest people in the room. I think there is a chance that they will get Kirk on the non-exclusive franchise tag purely so that they can try to negotiate a trade to get some assets back.
He can't do non-exclusive on the third franchise
tag.
The
third one has to be exclusive.
Okay. So you guys, they can't negotiate in any way, shape, or form?
And I agree with your point, by the way, that they may have tried to do that. Collectively bargained agreement does not allow for that. Otherwise, maybe that would have been their play. Rich and Laurel, what's up?
Richard.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, bud.
Okay. First of all, I have wrapped myself around the fact that Kirk Cousins was not going to be here. The Redskins had to make a move to get a quarterback. We can split hairs about whether Alex Smith is better or worse, but the Redskins could have done worse. I did not like Fuller being added into the mix, but a quarterback of Alex Smith's caliber costs, whether it's money or picks or players. The second point that I want to make is that the Jay Gruden, and this is the point that people do not understand, Kirk Cousins was not the quarterback that he is now back in 2013 or 2014. Jay Gruden and his staff molded and developed Kirk into a three-year consecutive 4,000-yard passer. So I don't get this lack of, well, Jay is not going to be able to fit his offense with Alex Smith. If anything I'm confident in is that Jay Gruden can do that. I think that this gloom and doom a little bit, and I get the emotion of losing Kendall Fuller and all, we've taken a step back with the defense. I get it. But let's let the offseason play out. But I am confident that Jay Gruden can make this work.
Rich, it's a good call, man, and he is smart. I didn't put him in my Mount Rushmore of four offensive minds I threw McVay into with Kyle Shanahan, but he's in the next group down of guys in terms of getting receivers open and amassing yards and moving the football. Let's get to your Beltway Blitz next. In the 12 o'clock hour, we'll get a chance to weigh back in with you guys on the phones. Did the Redskins get better or worse as of right now this moment than they were a few days ago with the Smith deal? And speaking of Alex Smith, Joel Thorman, who covered him in Kansas City, will be on the show at 1 o'clock, we're Grant and Danny.
Folks, Danny Rubier for my pals. It's Edward Ford. Go and see them. It's cold outside, baby. But you can go over to Edward Ford and get some hot deals. See what I did there? 130% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade. I'm going to say that one more time. Make sure you understand me. Edward Ford will give you 130% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade. And so if you are driving around in a car that you just kind of think is okay or don't even really like or, you know, if you're even bothered by the darn thing, go take it to them. You'll get more than you frankly deserve for your trade-in. You can apply that and get yourself a brand spanking new Ford. I did it a couple times. Got myself two Fords in the Rouillet family. You will have a ball. 2018 Ford Fusion. I got a 2017 Ford Fusion. I love it. You can lease one for just $150 a month. How about a 2018 Ford Escape? You can lease that for just $150 a month or buy it for $16,999. How about the 2018 Ford Explorer lease deal? Danny, that's got to be crazy expensive. No, it doesn't, sir or madam. $230 a month. Or you can buy one for up to $10,000 off the MSRP. Bottom line is this. Edward Ford does it. They do it great. You'll see them. Show you what I've been talking about. Tell them when he sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.